Lectionary this week, I don't always get a chance to read them together, but Psalm 91, talking about the temptations of Jesus, and for the Lord will command angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. How many have ever stubbed your toe? I did that just the other day. I'll tell you what, it never fails to me to say, my toes, no, and they try and warn the rest of my body, no, it's dark, you really do need the light on, but, you know, the ego gets in the way, and there we go. And then it's hopping around on foot, going, stand together. And Jesus comes, and the devil tempts him, the tempter, the snarer, the three temptations. I think there are different interpretations of what they are. The first, you know, Jesus has been 40 days in the wilderness. He's hungry, and the devil tempts him and says, make this rock turn to bread, food. We don't really appreciate that in this day and age, how food insecurity was a driving force for the majority of humanity. And over history, that's been predominant. It was not until there was food security that we began to develop the arts, the Renaissance, and different things began to occur, and there was enough time for leisure to do those things. And today we might have too much leisure, too much time. My daughter and I are succumbing to cupcakes. We have to stop that, but cupcakes are temptations, aren't they? You shall not live by bread alone. And then he says, gives him power over all things. If you will just worship me, I will make you in charge of everything you see. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God and only God. And freedom from energy, cast yourself off of here. Speaks right back to that psalm. Dash your foot, the angels will stop you. You know, try it. Test God. And Jesus says, you shall not test the Lord your God. Do not put your Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. That's in Deuteronomy. That's the other scripture that Jesus is quoting. I really butchered it. Let me do it again. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested God at Massah. Massah was that place in the wilderness, for those of us who were a little bit geography challenged, and they're on the Exodus. They're traveling in the wilderness, and they're running out of water, and the people begin to grumble. Well, you brought us out of Egypt, and now we're going to die of thirst. Where's it going? Grumbling and moaning and carrying on. And they're testing God. They're angry at. And they're testing whether or not God is going to let them perish in the desert. We do not live by bread alone. We do not worship any but God. The temptations, the tempter, the slanderer, all of those are translations of that same term. Tempter, accuser, slanderer, devil. It's all, and it helps us to see something because, you see, we are steeled against a horned, winged demon smelling of sulfur. It's the other temptations that we need to be watching out for. What if we envision the slanderer, the devil, as anybody that slanders? Think about that a moment. Could someone like that tempt you to betray our Christianity? I don't know about you, but when somebody slanders me, it gets right to me. When somebody says something about me that's untrue and accuses me, my back comes, you know, that's, I'm really ready to do battle, and I forget about my Christianity and my compassion, and those persons are wrong. They antagonize us, and they lie about us. Those persons are, we want them to rot in hell. Oops, We tempted. We succumbed to that temptation, hating that one who slandered. And it's an easy thing to do. It is a succumbing to temptation. It's a little bit like buying too many cupcakes at the grocery store, but not quite as clear, not quite as graphic, and much more intense. We have a temptation to rage. A temptation to rage, and sometimes, horrifyingly, it is disguised as religious indignation. Here's somebody who's doing something, and we know that we are good, healthy, you know, prayerful persons of God. And here is someone doing something else, and so we want to accuse them. We want to point out their flaw. We want to rage against them. We have succumbed to temptation. A temptation to hatred out of fear. My grandmother was a sweet little lady. I only knew her in her later years, and she tottered everywhere she went, and she smelled of geraniums. Were your grandparents like that? Is every grandmother smell like geraniums? And when we were little, she always had cookies for us boys. We visited, she was in a trailer right next to the house. We went over there often. Whether those cookies were temptation or not, we went over and spent a little time with her. But she succumbed to a temptation to hate out of fear. She grew up on the plains. They had a ranch in Pagosa. And the Indians, she was terrified. She'd heard what had happened. Some atrocious things had occurred. Stories, inflammation of people against the Native Americans. And there was a deep, abiding fear that came out as a hatred. We don't have that much toward Native Americans. Are there others that fit that same scenario for us today? There is temptation. There is a place that the snarer can reach out and reach us. And there is a demand, there's a temptation to demand satisfaction. Have you ever done something and you've been defrauded? I ordered something online and it came, took days to get there, finally got it, and it was not the same thing that they advertised it to be. So I tried to get a hold of somebody to try and figure out this is the wrong part. And round and round we went, and the more round we went, the more angrier I got. I know that was poor English. But boy, was I ever, I knew that I was in the right, they were in the wrong, and I got angrier and angrier, and the temptation toward indignation. I was in the right, I had everything on my side, and they were wrong, and I was, had my back up. How many of you are Shakespearean fans with the Bard upon Avon? Not a lot of us. We're not very British, are we? I guess in England, I've never been, but I understand in England you read all of Shakespeare growing up. Is that correct? I want a short one-page term paper on that from all of you for next week. But there's one Shakespearean play that is intriguing. It's called The Merchant of Venice. And the Merchant of Venice is around this relationship that Shakespeare gets a hold of. You see, that there's a man named Antonio, and he has a friend named... Anyway, it started with a B. I had that much part. But anyway, he needs money for something. The guy's in trouble, and Antonio says, "I let me help you, friend." Good-hearted, nice. So he doesn't have the money, so he goes to a money lender named Shylock. And he says, if you will loan me the money, I can make this back. I have an enterprise that's going to earn the money back, but if you will loan it to me, I will pay you back. And Shylock says, I will, but if you default on your loan, I demand a pound of your flesh. In other words, you better pay me back. Sure enough, things go amiss and Antonio defaults. And Shylock comes, he has a contract. They have sworn, they have written down this contract. And in the contract, Antonio owed Shylock a pound of flesh. Court, legal, all the business, it gets to be pretty touchy. He comes with a knife prepared to take a pound of flesh. Fortunately, there's a woman named Portia. She disguises herself so that she can be a lawyer. And she reads the fine print, and it says, yes, you can demand a pound of flesh as long as no blood is shed. Shakespeare gets out of the trap, but he's talking about something very important. That righteous indignation, Shylock rightfully could have collected that pound of flesh. Sometimes, even when we're in the right, we can be tempted to be in the wrong. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? And there's a temptation toward judging. Have you ever? We certainly don't judge anybody, do we? I mean, I try so hard not to do that. But the other day I was driving down the road and there was, and I'm not well enough versed in women's attire, but there were two women with two kids and they were wearing is it a burqa with an entire, and all you can see is the slit for the eyes? Is that a burqa? Gals that you dress in this all every day, right? What do you call them now? I don't know, but I saw them and I thought, oh. And as soon as I did, I realized the religious background and all of a sudden began to make a whole bunch of assumptions about them. I don't know. It could have been Holly Armstrong and Sandy Tenney, you know, and I don't know what they were about. But I had been tempted to profile them with a lot of others and a lot of other around education, around faith, around honesty. All these things began to run through my mind. And that's not the worst of them. Hoodies are something, and we see people wearing hoodies and they got the hood pulled on and immediately I begin to make a judgment. Well, now I have a hoodie. I listened to KVOD, the music station in Aurora here, and out of my support of the station, I received a gift. They sent a black hoodie with, you know, the whole thing there. It has something on the back about music and something on the front about some musician, but it's a hoodie. And I thought, I'm not sure I can wear it anywhere. I mean, even if it's cold outside, I mean, I'll put this on, people might judge me. And out of that, the sense and realization that I have a tendency to maybe put some judging on those who attire themselves as well. I have a fun one. I had a friend in junior high school, and we'd be doing whatever we did as kids, and we'd run around, and there'd be a group of students, and he would absolutely panic, and he'd say, oh, look out, they're teenagers, look out, look out. Apparently, he had been hazed at some point, and he was terrified of teenagers. And then we were in high school together, and I had to say to him, buddy, I said, you are a teenager now. And it just rattled him up one side and down the other. He had a hard time unpacking that judging that had been a part of so much of his existence. So temptation is not always a horned beast with wings and smelling of sulfur. I thought maybe we'd have the ensemble, Mark leading a guitar, and we'd sing The Devil in the Bluegrass. There's another one about the devil in blue jeans. There's all those other helping us see that it is not simply that simple image that might be a temptation. Certainly, if we are confronted with one that looks like that, we would steel ourselves. But when that temptation comes in other forms, we might be tempted. But the psalm says, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. There's a promise. And there's a promise, and that promise is part of our faith. It's part of who we are. And some who have been religious people suffer huge tragedies in their lives, in their families. And they say, well, this must all be a lie, because evil has befallen me. Cancer, injury, a teenage son killed in a traffic accident, a teenage daughter coming home from visiting her grandmother fell asleep at the wheel. How can we believe this psalm when these things have befallen us? And we need to understand a piece about what God is saying too. Long life I will satisfy them with, and salvation. Long life, the term is yom. And yom is this term about, means days, it means time, it means, and it's used, here's an example in Genesis. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac breathed his last. He died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days. Old and full of yom. We may die young, we may die old, but when we are in the Lord, we are gifted with salvation. He will not lose us. Remember what Jesus said. This is out of Matthew 5. The Lord makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. When bad things happen, sometimes we feel abandoned. We know, as we look around the world, that bad things happen everywhere around us to all people, and we pray with those who are injured. But we know that it will not happen to us because we are faithful, and yet it rains on the just and the unjust and the righteous and the unrighteous. And yet the Lord is with us. Let us not be tempted. Let us not flag in our zeal. Amen?